What's going on, people? Welcome to Paint Points, a very special live draft edition. I am joined today by Tyler Metcalf. What's going on, Tyler?
Doing well, Jake. Oh, we're finally here. So yeah. Ready to be done with this class, man.
And I'm joined by Jack Borman, another Canis Hoopus legend.
How are we doing?
Doing very well, man. We're about 2 minutes off the Minnesota Timberwolves being on the clock. We are live on Twitter as well. If you head over to one of our Twitter accounts, you can find that at Jake Painting, at JR Borman 13, at T Metcalf 13. Am I right?
11.
I was close. So we're about to obviously watch the draft. We're recording for the podcast as well. So if you are listening to the podcast, you might see hear a few kind of breaks. I'll try and keep the edits as clean as possible, but just so we're not doing a 3 hour long podcast. But fellas, I'll start with you, Jack. What's your ideal outcome for tonight? We've got a few minutes before this kicks off. What are you looking to see?
Yeah, so for my ideal outcome, you know, I think best case scenario would be that LaMelo drops to 3 somehow. So if the Wolves trade back to 3 and let's say Wiseman goes 1 or someone else goes 1, Wiseman goes 2 and then LaMelo's there at 3, I think that would be ideal, because then that's when I think you might get the Knicks to start calling. And then if that happens, then you have a pretty good shot there at getting a 2021 selection either from them, their own pick, or the 2021 Dallas pick that they have. So that's probably my ideal scenario. And then with 17, I mean, maybe they're going to trade it for Oubre. That's in the news right now. Or trade up with 17 and Culver and go get a Coro. Like, I would be ecstatic if they found a way to get a Coro. I think he's already a lot better than Culver is as it stands. And I don't really know what else they'd get out of 17. So I think it's much easier to find impact bigs in free agency or guys that you can fill in for cheap than it is to find guards. And so because of that, I'd rather them focus on guards and wings in the draft rather than bigs.
Yeah, I'm with you. What about you, Tyler? What are you looking for?
Yeah, and I fully agree. I'm trading back if it's possible. I'd love if they traded back and got Okoro or Denny or Vassell. I even like Halliburton. I know I'm kind of in the minority on that. But if they can trade back, I think, and accumulate things, you know, even if it's once or twice that they can do it, I think that's best case scenario. And we all love the Okoro fit. We all love the Vassell fit. But if they're going to stay put and, you know, I think at this point they kind of have to just make the home run swing, because if they go for fit at 1 and then they miss on the one guy that becomes a superstar, whether it's Ball or Edwards, it's going to be a huge miss. At this point, I've come to kind of convince myself that Edwards is the guy. It kind of seems like that's what everyone expects at this point if a trade doesn't happen. If they can trade back a couple spots once or twice, there are 7 or 8 guys in this top 10 that I would be more than okay with them taking.
Yeah, I think we all agree that trading back is probably the number one option for us. I mean, you don't want to miss out on the Edwards or the Ball if they do become a star, but I think the likelihood that they do is a lot lower than most drafts, and the Okoros, the Vassells, you know, even the Killian Hayes type players, they really do seem like awesome fits, and I'd love to get my hands on Isaac Okoro or Devin Vassell and come out tonight with that. What just before this kicks off, what's the worst case scenario, Jack? Is it Obi Toppin for you?
Oh my God, don't even say those two words. Oh man. Doogie's killing me by saying, oh, don't rule him out. Like, I swear to God, if Obi's the guy, we're gonna be on DEFCON 5 if that happens. So I'd say that's probably or drafting Wiseman number 1 and then being stuck and not being able to trade it.
Yeah, I think that's been a worry of mine for a few days now, that they try and be the smartest guy in the room and take Wiseman, and it ends up backfiring on them, and everyone just stays put and just says, well, you know, you can keep Wiseman, and then they have to scramble frantically to try and find a deal. They just have to deal with an unhappy Wiseman who doesn't fit on the roster. So what's your worst case, Tyler?
I think it's Wiseman. I don't like the fit. I don't like him as much as some other guys. I don't think he's the best center in the draft. And if they, you know, if they try and be the smartest guy in the room and take him, and the, you know, it'll be like in fantasy football where you have that one guy who takes like four or five quarterbacks, like, oh, I'm just going to be able to trade these guys for everything. And then you can't trade them for anything, because, you know, his value will be immediately suppressed because teams will know it's like, well, it's not going to work with him in town. So here's, you know, a couple of nickels for a dollar.
Yeah, I don't think teams are silly enough to think that Minnesota really want him and that will take him just because they think he's the player. I don't think they do. Just before we get started, Austin put a question here in the chat. Trade with the Hornets for Washington or trade for Smart with trade with Boston for Marcus Smart? I'm team Marcus Smart no matter what the question is. So like if you can get Marcus Smart and one of those picks in the 20s for pick one, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I love Marcus Smart, and he'd be a legitimately great fit on this team.
I think I agree with you. and I like Smart. I love his defense, and he would bring a sense of toughness and leadership that this team just doesn't have or hasn't had for the last 2 years. So I'd be okay with that. I like PJ Washington a lot, though, especially his fit next to Towns. So PJ Washington and 3, that would be tough for me to pass on.
Jack?
What was the question? I'm sorry. I've been futzing with the settings in here.
That's all right. There'll be a few of those, I think, during this. Marcus Smart from Boston or PJ Washington, if a deal arose with either of those?
Give me Marcus. Marcus Smart. Yeah, I need him. I mean, he's one of the toughest dudes in the league. And I mean, getting him and putting him with Josh Okogie on the wing, I think, gives you two wings right. That I mean,
wait, here we go.
You need so.
Oh, I thought that was an answer. Sorry, Jack, I cut you off there.
No, I just think that the combination of he and Okogie on the wing would be incredible. And I mean, you'd be able to have both of those guys handle the ball, Russell and Smart too, which would just be a home run fit. So.
And that shooting's not a problem with him anymore as it once was.
No.
You know, like he can shoot the ball now. So I think Marcus Smart would solve a lot of the defensive issues. Like that, I don't think he'd make them a good defensive team by any means, but I think he'd be a huge step in the right direction. So, and I love Washington too. Honestly, if one of those deals came through Austin, I'd be thrilled either way. So, and also Mr. Or Mrs. T-Girl, we are streaming the draft. just answering questions out here. The people on the
where's the chat coming in? I can't see it.
Can't you see? It's on the right of my screen. Sorry, everyone on the podcast is probably like, we don't give a fuck.
No, I can't see it. So
yeah, well, if you hear me just answering questions to random names, Jack and podcast listeners, that's what I'm doing. So it's 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes and 44 seconds left on the clock for Minnesota. They're officially on the clock. The time we've talked about for months now is finally upon us. Who are they taking at number one if they stay there?
It's going to be Edwards.
Yep.
I think they're going to take LaMelo. I feel like LaMelo is kind of edged ahead as the consensus lately, and I don't know if they're brave enough to pass on him if that's what they think as well. Obviously, that's just speculation, because I don't know if they actually, you know, think that themselves, but I think I'm going to go with LaMelo.
Okay.
That's there you go. So, Anthony Edwards is the number one pick in the draft. He's the newest Minnesota Timberwolf, obviously subject to trade, but As it stands, it's Edwards. I don't know how kind of people can. I don't know. I don't think you can be upset with him or Ball. I mean, I know you can stake your claim in one side or the other, but I think that they were the obvious top two picks and have been for a while now. So yeah, I think Edwards clearly fills a need on the wing. Unreal potential, needs coaching for sure, needs structure, needs maturity, but all those things, I guess the Timberwolves are willing to take a bet on because of the physical tools and the intangibles that he brings in terms of athleticism and touch and strength and shot creation as well. Is up there with the best. So what are your thoughts on the pick, guys, now that it's official?
And it's hard to argue with, and he's got the highest ceiling in the draft in my eyes. If those engagement issues, if those, you know, effort issues were just a symptom of him being in the college system and not being inspired or pushed or ever really challenged, and he was never challenged growing up. So if that was a symptom of that, and he gets in the NBA and he's ready to go, ready to work, and turns that corner, then I think this could be a home run. I'm also a little concerned that we're getting Andrew Wiggins 2.0 here.
Yeah.
I think that his ceiling is just so much higher, and I think that his attacking mentality, I mean, we saw that with Wiggs, like his first 2 years, and then it just left, but I don't know. I feel like Anthony Edwards has a bit of a different mindset than Wiggs does. Like, his personality is more competitive, I think.
Yeah, well, Wiggs is an enigma. Like, it's hard to kind of predict that many people are going to be another Andrew Wiggins just because he was such a strange case. And, I mean, there's obviously been players littered throughout the league for years that don't have the same, the, you know, the effort levels or the maybe the love for the game that some players, you know, the great players do, but I think there hasn't really been one to the level of Wiggs where it's like his talent was so far different to the effort he put on a consistent basis. And I don't think that, I think it's tough to paint Edwards with that same brush, especially since we've never seen him play an NBA game.
Yeah, and like one of the biggest things that I've kind of kept going back to with Edwards was that the best outcome for his career, I think, will be immediately going to a role where he's not the number one option, where he's forced to kind of learn how to play off ball and do those, and how to do the little things that contribute to team basketball and winning basketball. So in this case, you know, he's you know, third at best in the pecking order in Minnesota. So I think that'll help him because he's an awesome cutter when he wants to be. He moves off ball really well. So really hoping that kind of propels his development or accelerates his development, whereas if he would have, you know, just been given the keys to the car right away, I think his outcome could be different.
Yeah. Jack, thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think that you made a good point in talking about him as a cutter, because I think the fact that he's playing with two dynamic playmakers in Towns and Russell. And I think that that's going to encourage him to cut more. Like, it's going to be easier for him to put the ball in the basket if he cuts more aggressively and plays off of those two guys consistently. How consistently he's going to do those things, obviously time will tell, and we're not sure yet. But you know, I think that there's just so much to be excited about with Edwards, just from a physical perspective. I mean, the guy is a freak athlete. He wants to kill people at the rim. Wants to go over people, through people, and because of that, I want to see him in Minnesota before I can totally judge what happened there. But yeah, and I just think the defensive upside is real and it's there, and it just has to be unlocked. And you know, if I'm David Vanterpool, I can say, look what I did to Dame and CJ. I want to do the same thing for D'Angelo and you, and I think that gives credence to instant credibility with DV. So those are my immediate thoughts, and I, you know, wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if he ends up remaining in Minnesota and ends up playing a big role right away.
Yeah. I think if I had to wager, if I had to make a guess, I'd think that he stays in Minnesota. I just think that I don't know whether his trade value is going any better by being, you know, drafted. I think that if someone really wanted him that bad, they would have offered maybe something similar than what they would offer now to draft to number one. So, and I think a lot of teams might even have LaMelo ahead of him. So, them teams are probably licking their lips at the moment, hoping that maybe LaMelo falls to them. So, I think that that he's a, you know, a safe pick in terms of you're not going to get fired in 5 years if he doesn't turn out, because most people had him going number one to Minnesota, or at least in the top three. So do you think there's a trade incoming now for 17, or do you think they're, because I just don't see them picking three rookies tonight, but is that the way you guys think?
And if they're able to trade back up into like the top eight and get like Isaac Okoro, I think that'd be an incredible takeaway. Just the athleticism alone that they would have added to the perimeter of their rotation, I think would be tremendous. And, you know, Edwards projects as a shooter and a scorer, so bringing in Okoro, I don't think would really hurt, you know, their offensive floor or anything like that.
Yeah. What about you, Jack? Do you foresee a trade coming with 17 or 33, or do you think this changes just anything that you predicted beforehand?
Well, I think there's zero chance that the Timberwolves walk away drafting at all three spots. There's just not room on the roster for three rookies. So, you know, whatever ends up happening later on, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, just because it sure seems like Culver's name was getting thrown around a lot, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's just so evident to me that he's not a fit whatsoever in Minnesota. You know, Rosas knows that he messed up that pick last year and that the pressure is on. And I mean, I think on some level it's an abject failure that you weren't able to trade the number one pick and get Edwards at three. But, I mean, shout out to the Hornets. Like, they stood pat and are now probably going to be able to get their guy. I mean, assuming Golden State does what we all expect them to do. So
do you think Golden State take LaMelo? Or do you think Golden State takes Wiseman?
I haven't looked at anything yet. I'm trying not to tweet.
I haven't seen what they've done.
I mean, I'm assuming that Golden State's going to take Wiseman here, and that Charlotte would probably take LaMelo, just because, you know, MJ gave him that seal of approval or stamp of approval this morning, I guess. So those are kind of my thoughts immediately, but I definitely would not rule out moving up here.
Who do you think they're going to take, Tyler, before this comes in? I'm going to go FDR. I'm going to go
I would be shocked if they didn't go Wiseman here.
Yeah, I would be pretty shocked if it wasn't Wiseman as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they've never really had that true, you know, elite center since they've started that whole build there. I mean, Bogut was probably their best one, and he's an awesome player, but he has the potential to be that franchise cornerstone at the center position and be that true elite rim protector. If he gets there, you know, who knows, but I really think that this was his absolute best landing spot for his future development.
Yeah, I agree. You both know that I'm not overly high on Wiseman, but I think if there's ever a place where you can kind of, you know, allow him to be spoon-fed by really great players and not overexert him and expose the flaws that I predict he's going to have, I think it would be Golden State, and especially if Klay Thompson isn't as injured as, you know, maybe kind of looks at the moment, but we don't know what's going on there. But yeah, I don't mind Wiseman to Warriors. I don't think he'll ever be good enough to be a number two pick, and hopefully that comes and bites me in the ass. That's that prediction, but I don't think he's going to live up to the number two pick, but I do think he'll be a good player. You know, they're comparing him to Shaq currently on ESPN, so...
that's just not fair to him.
I'm not watching it right now, but no, I fully believe that Wiseman's going to be successful in Golden State. You know, especially if he's able to step out and shoot the three really, really well.
He absolutely wants to.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I mean, he hasn't shot it overly well in high school or in college, but I mean, his stroke looks fine. Like, I think that there's definitely a foundation that you can build off of there. And he's athletic, and I mean, the Warriors are going to want to get out and run, especially if Clay's healthy. But even if he's not, and Wiggins plays a lot more, like, they're going to want to run. And I think Wiseman, it would not surprise me right away, or it would not surprise me if Wiseman played a lot of minutes early and if he like legitimately made a solid impact for the Warriors, just because of the situation, not even necessarily because of how good of a player he is, but just because of like the fact that you're playing with the second greatest point guard of all time, the best shooter of all time, and like just the most unselfish team in the league, I think will just create opportunities for him to be successful right away. So, and obviously they have a tremendous development staff too. So, you know, time will tell what ends up happening there, but I'm excited to see how he fits in Golden State.
So back to Edwards, obviously, this is, you know, we're going to try and keep this as Timberwolves-centric as possible. Do we think, and obviously we don't know what's unfolding with Malik Beasley and the legal process that he's in at the moment, but do you think that this gives them more incentive to let him go if they believe that's the right PR move and the right move for the franchise now that they do have a shooting guard in Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, I mean, it's what, 7:22 Central Time right now, and they still haven't offered him a qualifying offer, and the deadline is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to make a sweeping condemnation, but that's the situation that was laid out does not look good, and it paints a pretty brutal picture of, you know, who Malik Beasley is as a person, and it would not surprise me whatsoever if he's not back in Minnesota and if there isn't really a trade market for him.
Yeah. At the least, it at least makes it an easier decision or for them, because I mean, if it's, you know, who knows what's going on, but, you know, not now they have someone that can fill in that starting shooting guard spot as a legit scorer, so... You know, if they just completely move on from him, and that trade at the deadline looks a lot worse, but it's not like they all of a sudden have this gaping hole, you know, in their rotation.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, no one could foresee Beasley kind of getting into trouble with the law or fumbling the bag in the most obvious way possible. This summer, so this off season, so.
Absolutely fumbled the bag.
Yeah, there hasn't been a bigger bag fumbling.
That's like like a 1 yard line, like drop the ball behind you before.
Yeah, like he was right there. He needed to wait like, you know, 30 days before going out and committing obvious crimes. So yeah, Charlotte, we're guessing LaMelo here.
Yeah, wouldn't be absolutely stunned by Okongwu. Yeah, it's LaMelo.
Yeah, I think that's a good fit in Charlotte. I think they needed they need talent in any position. I don't think that Rozier is a problem. You know, I don't think that Monk or Graham is a problem. Really, I don't think any of those guys are going to change your franchise. So, you take Ball. He's the obvious one left of the quote unquote big three. And yeah, you run with that, and you know, you can play multiple positions. I think you'll be able to play the two as well. You know, you probably won't be able to guard twos, but I don't think you'll be able to guard ones really either. So, yeah, that's a pretty easy pick there. And do you both agree with that?
Yeah, he definitely has the most star power, and I think at worst this kid could be a generational playmaker. And you know, that's if his shot doesn't develop. That's if he is still awful on defense, and if he improves in any of those areas, and he could easily be the best player out of this draft, and you know, be that missing link that Charlotte has kind of kept missing on, and really Charlotte's developmental staff, I think, has actually been pretty impressive with what they've done with some of their draft picks. I don't think they've necessarily drafted perfectly well the last couple seasons, but what they've done with some of these guys, I think they have a really good coaching staff there, so hopefully that unlocks something in this kid.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they've developed pretty well, like you said, and I think that Ball's a really good talent. I will admit that I'm a little bit hurt that we don't get to see him in a Wolves jersey. I know the fit's not perfect, and I know that there's issues, and I can see those clearly as well, but I don't know. I talked myself into LaMelo over the last few weeks, and after a few weeks, you know, prior to that, I'd started to really consider moving him up to one on my board, and then I eventually did. And then since then, I've kind of found myself really infatuated with the thought of LaMelo, and now I guess it's it's not something I have to worry about anymore. I guess I have to worry about more about what Edwards can do for the Wolves now. But yeah, I do like LaMelo, and I think he's going to be a really good player, which might be in the minority for some, for us three, because I think I'm definitely higher on him than you two guys. But yeah, I think LaMelo will be a really good fit with Charlotte, and will make all those younger players they have a lot better.
All right, fellas, well, let's keep this rolling, because John Krasinski just tweeted that the Wolves are in talks to trade the 17th pick to Oklahoma City for Ricky Rubio and picks 25 and 28, sources tell The Athletic.
Bombshell, we are back on the podcast. Explain that for me again, Jack. You've got the tweet in front of you. We've got incoming trades, or, you know, reported incoming trades by John Krasinski, the man for Timberwolves trade news. Jack, take it away.
John Krasinski is reporting that the Timberwolves are in talks to acquire or to trade the 17th pick to Oklahoma City for Ricky Rubio, the 25th pick, and the 28th pick.
Oh, Ricky's back. That is the dream scenario for pretty much all Wolves fans, I think. And I'm not as high as on Ricky as a lot of other people are, but I think that's pretty huge. So 25 and 28 along with that. I don't know if they'll try and package maybe those, and maybe those to try and get up again. I guess not, but yeah, it's a big one. What are your thoughts? I'll start with you, Tyler. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think I would have preferred Oubre just based on fit. I mean,
Pat Williams just went 4 as well.
Oh, wow. What? What is going on?
I mean, everyone kept saying that 4 was going to be where the draft started.
I like the pick.
Okay, and he's a project. I like him. I think he has a ton of potential, but oof. Okay.
Yeah, so sorry, back to Rubio. That is bigger news in Timberwolves land, Rubio 25 and 28.
So I'd have to imagine that they'd be packaging both those picks with 33 to try and move up or for another player or something. I would assume, I mean, Rubio's, I think, a nice kind of stabilizing presence and veteran leader, maybe off the bench. I would be kind of surprised if they started him in D'Lo. He's a fan favorite, so I got that going for him. But, I mean, he's making $17 million this year, which is not nothing.
Yeah, I don't know I guess James Johnson's going to have to be involved in that, isn't he?
I would think so. I think to make the money work, he'll have to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, we love Ricky as a person and as a Timberwolves kind of cult hero, but on the court, it is a strange fit, I think. I think he's better than a bench player, but I don't see how him and D'Lo fit overly well in a backcourt together. I mean, it is a defensive stopper. It is a guy who can actually give you some point of attack defense at the one. Which obviously D'Angelo Russell doesn't do, which is huge for a team that has Karl Anthony Towns at the back of that pick and roll coverage. So that's something that does intrigue me. Maybe they're planning on playing D'Lo off the ball a bit more. I think you have to, because there's obviously going to be times where their minutes overlap. I think Ricky's still a 30 plus minute a game kind of guy. So, yeah, I think it's a strange one. I think it's until we see who they take at 25 and 28, it's even more interesting, because now they have another pick to add to those three that they already have. Now they'll have 4 if they pick all those guys. So something else is in the works, I think. I think something should have happened with one of those three picks they have now, because they don't even have the roster spots to take on 4 or 5 guys tonight. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big move. Ricky, when fans are allowed back in the TC, Ricky's going to get one of the biggest applauses that anyone's ever got there, I think, because he is beloved in Minnesota. And yeah, I think there's pluses to it. There's negatives.
What is happening? Oh my God.
What have we got now? Jack's our newsbreaker.
No, I'm just like, why? What is going on? like, why? Like,
yeah.
I love Ricky Rubio as much as the next guy, but like, what are we like? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't understand what the deal. I don't understand the deal. I think the deal has to include James Johnson. They can't be taking on $17 million in salary without giving anything back. The fit's weird. The deal's even weirder, and I still kind of love it. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Jack, give me more than what's going on.
I mean, my immediate thoughts are that, well, Ricky Rubio can't be aggregated with another player, so it's just Ricky Rubio that's coming back to Minnesota. But, I mean, it's got to just be Johnson then. Because if it's just Rubio, it's got to be just Johnson. So, you know, I mean, Rubio will be great. He's a terrific defensive point guard. So I think he'll take pressure off of D'Angelo Russell in that way. And I think having three guys that can really pass the ball will be great. But it really makes me confused about, you know, what the hell is going to happen with Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver? Because, yeah. Like, I don't see a world in which you can play Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, and Ricky Rubio on the floor at the same time. And
yeah, maybe so, Ricky, so I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here and kind of crap on the trade here a little bit. I mean, this front office and coaching staff keep making it clear with their on-court play and philosophies, the style that they want to play, yet they kind of keep bringing in guys who can't fit that offensive personality. I mean,
yeah.
Rubio's a really nice playmaker, really nice defender. He can't shoot at all. I mean, I know there's more to basketball than just that, but this front office kind of keeps making moves to bring in these guys who don't exactly fit what they want to do on the court, so... On the surface, I don't hate the move, but it's like, what are we trying to do here? Like, what's the plan? It seems a little, you know, misguided unless it's a piece for something else. I have no idea, but I don't know. It's a little frustrating in that sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I know Ricky has improved as a shooter, and... You know, just looking at it now, I know we don't have PIPM anymore because Jacob Goldstein was hired to an NBA front office, which is awesome. But we're on RPM here, ESPN RPM, and you know, ninth among point guards in defensive real plus minus. Actually, a positive on that end, a minor positive offensively. I think that kind of paints Ricky pretty well. And maybe this is just a complete defense move. Maybe it's just that we need to shed a little bit of shooting to get some defense, and they obviously believe that Edwards can shoot the ball as well. So yeah, it does go against a lot of their philosophy, but Ricky is a guy who can play fast, and that's one of the things they like to encourage as well. And I think it's also a player that can play at the two as well. I think you can probably play Ricky off the ball at times as well. It's not ideal, but I think you can survive with him and Russell on the court for short periods. But I think that obviously Rubio is probably going to be a six man type, and you're paying him $17 million, and he doesn't really shoot as much as you'd want. So yeah, it's weird.
All this tells me is that I don't think Minnesota's done trading tonight.
No, I cannot see a world where they pick at 25, 28, and 33. I mean, I think there's good rotation players in that range, especially in this draft, but I don't see a world where they have five players come back tonight and only James Johnson goes out.
Yeah, no, I it's crazy to me, man. You know, I think that could be a really, really interesting move to help Kat.
Yeah,
and give Kat another familiar face.
And Kat, like, you know, I've spoke so much about LaMelo Ball and how he would make Kat better. Well, the one guy who's ever truly saw Towns thrive as a pick and roll partner is Ricky Rubio. And, you know, that boy can pass, and he really knows how to set up a big man. I think that DeAndre Ayton can confirm that. He's obviously talented himself, Ayton, but he really benefited by having Ricky there beside him. And yeah, there's a lot of pluses, and there's a few, you know, pretty glaring minuses. How long has Ricky got left on his deal? Does anyone know?
2 years.
2 years.
So
yeah.
17 this year and then 17.8 next year.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like he's cash strapped you for, you know, a major long time, and I guess you never know what Carlton Towns thinks of this. Maybe this is a deal that Towns endorsed, and if Towns is endorsing things at this point, I think the front office is going for it no matter what.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think that Towns has endorsed that deal, and I don't think it's hard for him to do that, just because obviously there's history with him and Ricky, and you know, I really wonder what this means for Naz Reid too. You know, Ricky was crucial in developing Towns' game, and so part of me wonders if they'll leave Ricky out there to run, can kind of get the puppies organized with the twos. So that'll be really interesting to me to see kind of how that shakes out. And how that works. But the other thing that I think about too with Ricky Rubio is, you know, what if Philadelphia is like, you know, we really like Ricky Rubio, and they're trying to position themselves for the next big fish, and they have a really good playmaking point guard that's ready to go. So that's the other thing that I think about. I think it. You know, you can't really think about the Suns just because obviously Rubio was just there. But that's the other thing that I think about too, because Rosas is always thinking, you know, 1, 2, 3 deals down the line. So we'll see what happens. It'll be pretty crazy to see kind of how that all shakes out. But yeah, I think also for Oklahoma City, this would not surprise me if Oklahoma City is going after Poku at 17.
Yeah.
To jump in front of Dallas and try and make that happen. So that's kind of my thoughts from the Oklahoma City side of things. And then, you know, I haven't been watching the draft stream. So we have, who do we have at 5? Okoro went 5.
Yeah, I think that was a steal for him.
Yeah, it's a great pick. We're all huge Isaac Okoro fans. So I think on that team that already has guards who have struggled defensively, Okoro is a great pick. Just back to the Rubio deal, because as I've said, and there's been a few comments on this live chat about us talking about the Timberwolves, like, this is a Timberwolves stream, and it's a Timberwolves podcast that we're doing, so, apart from the fit and the clunkiness that we've kind of already discussed, I think it's a pretty good trade just on face value. Like, I think they've got a pretty good deal for 17 and, you know, a 33-year-old James Johnson. Like, Rubio is still a very good player, and they've got 2 first-round picks as well. So, in a draft where 17 really wasn't a pick that was highly coveted, I don't think. So, I think if you're just looking at it from an outsider's perspective and from a value perspective, it's a pretty good deal for Rosas. I don't know how it plays out on the court, but you know, 25, 28, and Ricky Rubio for a James Johnson who's firing and 17, I think is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and I definitely believe more in Rubio's ability to at least contribute throughout a game more than James Johnson's, you know, for a whole regular season. And then I just got to imagine that those 2 picks and their second rounder will get moved to either move up or for a player. And it looks like Okongwu to Atlanta.
Yeah, so again, I was wrong. But yeah.
Also, reports are Shams is saying it's a heel injury for Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
But I've seen other reports too from a guy who was the first guy to get Gobert having corona, that it's a torn Achilles for Klay.
Yeah, well, that would make sense with the heel, you know, like it kind of still makes sense if it's heel related, that it's like in the Achilles region. That's not good. I hope it's not, because I love Klay, man.
You want to know what would be sick? If we, like, traded 25 and 28 up and went and got, like, Desmond Bane.
Oh, don't play with my heart, Jack.
Hey, I'm not saying, man. I'm just saying.
I don't know if they can get another guard.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if they can take another guard now, though. If you're set on Edwards being a 2. Like, I guess Edwards can move up a position, but
Bane would come off the bench.
Yeah, that's true. But and we're pretty, I'm pretty sure now that Beasley's not coming back. Like, every move they've made signals virtually the end of Malik Beasley. So I'm not, obviously that's not confirmed or anything like that, but my opinion would be that Beasley's not back. So if you could run D'Lo, Rubio, Beasley, Bane as your guard, Edwards, Bane as your guard rotation, like, that's nice, man.
Yeah, and it definitely helped with their shooting and adding another, you know, kind of shot creator and just overall just good, intelligent player. So I'd be all for Bane.
Yeah, and the multiple ball handlers is a thing that I've preached for months now, and I love that there's another ball handler. I think it's the what you can come back to with everything to do with Minnesota is that D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns both need to get better on defense, and that's just the bottom line. Like if D'Lo improves marginally defensively, then maybe you can survive a little bit more with him and Rubio sharing the court together. And I think if you can survive defensively, those two could be really fun offensively as a kind of two big point guard, you know, lineup that can yin and yang off Karl Anthony Towns, who's obviously an unbelievable scorer as a big man. Then you've got Anthony Edwards in there who's going to create shots for himself and can go on, you know, 25-point scoring streaks in a half. So, yeah, if nothing else, I think this Timberwolves team is looking quite fun at the moment. Oh, the Knicks went Balmaro.
The Knicks did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going on a Knicks podcast tomorrow. It's going to be so hard to contain myself.
you're going to get like the pitchfork committee's going to be out for you. That's wild. That's a wild pick. I mean, and I'm the resident, you know, high on Balmaro guy here, and even though I think that's wild, just because they need someone that helps them right away. They suck. Like, why'd they get a guy who's already said he's not coming to the States this year? Look at his thing on ESPN. It just says PPG and nothing. He doesn't have any stats there. They're
like, yeah, they're like, oh, shit, these are really bad numbers. Let's switch it to high motor and court vision.
Oh, Jesus Christ. New York is trading number 23, Leandro Balmaro, to Minnesota for numbers 25 and 33.
You're fucking kidding me. After we spent the whole of the last 5 minutes making fun of them, we deserve that. I'm sorry. We deserve that karma. Look at the faces in the group. This is sad.
Oh, God. He's going to be so bummed.
I told you earlier, I'm going to start. So starting back up on the podcast here, Leandro Balmaro just got traded to the Wolves. He got picked at 23, traded to the Wolves for 25 and 33, was it, Jack? Yeah. And so, yeah, he's a big point guard from Argentina. He's not coming over to the States. We've all been sitting here kind of making fun of the Knicks for the pick, and now he's a Wolf. I did suggest earlier that this might be a pick they make just because they don't have a lot of roster spots and it's a guy they can stash in Europe. Guys, tell us your thoughts. Tyler, I know you're very low on Balmaro.
How does this make sense?
What you've got to say.
So we're bringing. So this is a team that wants to shoot the most threes in the league. And last year, they made them at, you know, one of the worst clips in the league. And now we're bringing in Ricky Rubio and Leandro Balmaro, neither of which can shoot. And Leandro Balmaro can't even score. And he plays with a ton of energy. He's a good passer, good defender. But this dude just cannot score. I don't understand what they're doing with the offensive philosophy that they've tried to put in place, because a lot of their roster moves have made zero sense.
Yeah. I'm the resident high here guy here on Bolmaro. But even then, I find it a strange deal. I get the stash part of it, and that they probably didn't want to bring in three or four picks, but it seems like a strange one just because he is kind of just like a bigger Ricky Rubio with less passing vision and a really bad record of shooting. Jack, give me your thoughts. You slumped so far down in your chair when that news came through. Give us your thoughts.
17 and James Johnson for Ricky Rubio, 28 and 25. You turned 28 and 25 into 23 and 28, and you lose 33 for a guy that would have probably been there at 33. That's just horrible asset management. Yeah. Like, I'm sure that the Timberwolves are getting something in addition to Bolmaro, because I just can't imagine that they would. I'm dumbfounded. I can't imagine that the Timberwolves would trade up like that for a guy like Bolmaro that would have been there for 33. Like, I mean, I like Bolmaro. Like, he's 35 on my board, and I think that he has some interesting upside, especially as a passer and an athlete. But, yeah, I mean, I only thought of him as a second-round guy. I mean, unless the Wolves are bringing back some type of forward from the Knicks, this one is just a real head-scratcher to me. You know, I don't know if the Wolves are gonna pick up like a Taj Gibson or like a Mo Harkless or somebody in addition to this trade. Well, Mo Harkless is a free agent, I guess, but yeah, I mean, I am speechless. There's got to be something more to that. Otherwise, that is just.
What would it be? I mean, at this point.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them getting another asset. Like, because on the surface, 25 and 33 for 23, I guess, makes a little bit of sense. Like, I don't know what the Knicks have to give up. Like, Kevin Knox, maybe? Like, yeah, I just, it's a strange one. Obviously, he was their guy. Like, and, you know, they circled his name and they were going to go for him, which is not something that, Emmanuel quickly to the Oklahoma City Thunder as well at 25, which is
that'll go to the Knicks. That'll go to the Knicks.
I digress. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's a strange one, Bolmaro. I'm not ready to completely write it off, but I think it's definitely for a night that I think Minnesota have had a pretty good night. I think Edwards and Rubio was a kind of nice little duo of players who bring different things and definitely help you win more games. I think Bolmaro isn't that, obviously, because he's not going to come next season. But I think including, you know, two picks to get him is definitely a head scratcher. I think that it still hinges, you know, on the night. I think, you know, it could bring them down a grade or two on their overall draft grade, but it really does depend on who they take at 28. I think, you know, they will pick at 28 because I think they'd like to come out of this draft with at least two players. And I guess, you know, whoever you take at 28 is really going to be the decider here. If Boston, I think Boston take Desmond Bane or Utah, I think they're going to miss on Bane, who's the clear number one target for me at the moment. Robert Woodard, probably, you know, pretty good chance. What are some other guys you think that the Minnesota should be looking at 28 now that that's their final pick of the night?
Bane, Tillman, Tyrell Terry. I mean, those are the three names that I have.
Yeah. I mean, if you Shorter will.
And the Timberwolves still need shooting. I mean, Roses talks all the time about how he wants guys that can shoot. And you're going to try and play Rubio, Culver, Okogie.
Right.
And then, well, who knows when Bolmaro comes in? I mean, and then Layman. I mean, who knows if Layman's going to play and if Layman's going to shoot? I mean, good God, like, I want answers. Like, what the hell is the plan here? I know that some people are saying, like, hey, let's just trust Rosas with the international guys. And, like, sure, all right, sure, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. But, I mean, there's rumors that Bolmaro may not even want to come over here, period. And and probably isn't going to be in Minnesota this upcoming season.
Right.
Again, I would not have hated the pick at 33 whatsoever, but the fact that you traded up to get him at 23 when he for sure would have been there at 25, he for sure would have been there at 28, and Dan Welsh probably would have been there at 33 too. Like, man, I don't know what to, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, so my issues aren't so much with the player himself, because, you know, who knows, maybe he develops into something and, you know, everyone has their flaws. My issue is with what this front office continues to say and then completely do the opposite. I mean, we have no shooters in this draft. Stop constructing a team to play like a team with a bunch of shooters and then bring in zero shooters. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, and to play devil's advocate, and I don't want to sound, you know, like the positive guy here, because I do agree with everything you're saying. I think the asset management, like Jack's been noting, was pretty horrendous. Unless, you know, there was something going around that Bolmaro was like definitely going to go in one of these next picks, and he was, yeah, the guy that they had circled. I just don't understand why they don't just pick him at 25, pick him at 28, like pick him at 33. I don't know why you trade picks to get him. And then, like you said, Tyler, I completely agree that the shooting, they're kind of going against their own mantra here. But I guess they believe in Anthony Edwards. That's what I'm gleaning from this, is that they think Anthony Edwards is going to be a good shooter, not just a passable shooter, a guy who can hit, you know, 35-36% from three on fairly high volume. Because we already spoke about our thoughts on Beasley, and that we don't think Beasley probably going to come back. So, you know, you've lost a lot of shooting. After you gained a lot of shooting at the deadline, you've probably lost a lot of shooting here. And I guess that it's another thing that maybe points to Juanjo Hernangómez returning as well, which is not something that I'd be on board with as a starting four. So, yeah, I think you need to get shooting here at 28. I think if they take a non-shooter... I don't know what they seem to be zigging when they're talking about zagging. Like they're doing some strange things. I like the Rubio deal. I'm gonna stick by saying that I like the Rubio deal. I like it a lot less if they squander all these assets that they got back with Rubio. If it's just Rubio, you know, and kind of just a pick that's not gonna come over, and then a bad pick at 28. Then it gets a lot less appealing. But at the moment, we're inching towards the 28th pick. We'll probably end the podcast after that, because we've sounded off on the Wolves enough, and I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so hey, let me do a little spin zone on Bolmaro here. So, and just like when you look at him and Rubio, their games are pretty similar, where they're really good passers, they play hard, good defenders, can't shoot. You know, Bolmaro is almost a younger 6'7", 6'8", version of Rubio. Is the whole thought process here to just bring in Rubio to try and help mentor and teach this kid who's coming over from Spain like Rubio did? I mean, is that the whole point of it? I mean, it seems like a complete waste of assets to do that, but... is that, you know, are they thinking down that road?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's definitely not what you had in mind when we've been speaking for so long about how important this draft is for Minnesota, and how they really do have a chance to run the board with the assets they have, and to a pick at kind of each end of the first round or just outside the first round with 33. But it's definitely, Bolmaro would not have been a guy that I would have guessed ended up in Minnesota. Especially not when, you know, you consider that he wasn't never coming to the States at the moment anyway. So, Peyton Pritchard goes to 27.
I love that.
I love Boston.
That's he's such a Celtic. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, hey, that is a good pick. And for me, it's a good pick because... While we're still on the Wolves, every pick that's not Desmond Bain, every pick that's not, I guess, Robert Woodard at the moment, is a more chance of them falling to the Wolves. So I think that, yeah, I think the Bolmaro thing is strange. I think there's a chance it works, as much as we've kind of shit on it for the last 5-10 minutes. Like, I do like Bulmara, and I think that if that shot develops at all and the rim finishing develops at all, and that's a big if. But, you know, like, I think he can be a good player. Like, we say 6-7 Ricky Rubio, like, that's a bad thing.
Right,
like,
no, that's 6-7 Ricky Rubio saying, is a heck of a player. That a positive because he's going to beat it? But then, you know, Rubio's contract is up after next, not this season, but the year after. So is Bulmara even over at that point? Is he, you know, not even interested in coming over to Minnesota when he maybe originally thought that he was going to New York? So does he put that off and, you know, lives in sunny, warm Barcelona for a few more years?
And the Timberwolves still need a big, like,
right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think the big, seems to be free agency now, doesn't it? Like,
who though?
If
and what money?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, the mid level is where you're gonna get him. I still think it's
holy
if they're
shit.
Committed to
sorry,
this small ball.
Sorry, I just saw Utah's picking at 27, and wow, not what I was. What?
That's all right. That's all right.
Oh god,
we can talk about it. We can talk about it.
Udoka Azubuike. From Kansas.
Oh my.
So now they have two centers who can't defend anything on the perimeter.
See this, I don't know if I'll keep this on air or not, the bit about Bulmara, but this was our reaction to Bulmara before Jack came in with like the bad news, like, and just shot all of our humor down about Bulmara and said that he's coming to Minnesota. But well, now we can talk about it. This has to be Desmond Bane. I know if you're listening to this on the podcast, it might already be Bane or it might be someone else. I don't care that Woodard can play the four. This has to be Bane, in my opinion. He's still the best player in the draft by far at the moment. And if not, it's going to be Woodard or Tyler Bay. And anything else, I'm probably going to be disappointed with.
I need someone. I need. It's got to be McDaniels or Bay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anyone else in this range who I really trust as, you know, a pure shoot. And Desmond Bane, McDaniels, or Tyler Bay, those are really the only three that make sense to me at this point.
Jack,
give me Desmond Bane. I think he's the best player that's still left. I don't know, you need shooting, and I mean, in the order I want him to be taken is Bane, Terry, Tillman, Woodard, Bay, McDaniels. Any of those guys. Like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't sit here and talk about shooting and then, you know, not advertise for Bane or Terry, really, can we? Because they're the shooters. They're the pure shooters left. They're the guys who are going to shoot over 40%, you know, if they hit their potential in the NBA. And I think that's pretty... It's not a reach at all for them to be 40% shooters. Like, Terry's a sniper. Bane's a sniper. They can do it on, off the ball. One of those, I think, probably should end up in Minnesota if they are committed to solving the power forward problem here. It's got to be, Woodard, Tyler Bay, Jaden McDaniels, who I don't think Jaden McDaniels can be your starting four. Like, but, you know, he is a Rosas type. You know, big wing player. Azubuike is a wait. Why is this LA's pick?
What pick is this?
Because trades haven't been finalized or anything yet, but it'll be going to OKC,
City.
I believe.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then to Minnesota.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Well, they got 20.
Yeah.
They got 28-25. Yeah, confused myself there. But yeah, Azubuike and Gobert, like, I don't like the pick at all, but man, that's some hectic length on a floor.
So who's actually...
I don't get why they did it.
Right now, I was just on Twitter for way too long.
Lakers, so Minnesota.
So I'm going to stay off Twitter for the next couple of minutes here. I just can't believe they took Doak at 27.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happier with the Bulmara pick than like for the Bulmara, for how much shit we've given it. Like, there's been some strange picks tonight, and that's not nearly my least favorite.
Again, like I have Bomaro at like 34, so I don't dislike him.
I have him in my top.
It's the front office
in my first round
philosophy, what they said, and then all of their actions completely negating what they've said and what they've tried to install in the on-court product. That's my problem with it.
My
problem is far more the process rather than the product. Like,
yeah, 100%.
I just think it's a misuse of assets. Like, I don't think that any team that was picking there in between, for sure in between 23 and 25, and then, I mean, probably not even until 28 you would have been able to get.
Yeah, and only one I could have seen would be Celtics, because they could just stash them because they're already almost capped out on roster spots.
That's my thinking, is that someone, they must have heard something that Bomaro was going to go in the next couple of picks, because,
but 25,
and that was their
though,
guy that they
that's
wanted.
The thing.
Like, that's
like,
the only...
20, I mean, but you could have taken him at 25. Like, the Bucks were picking, or excuse me, the Pelicans were picking, I mean, wait, what? So the Pelicans are getting 24? Is that right? So they took Kyra, and RJ Hampton.
And then they traded Hampton to Denver.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not see that. I've like been trying to stay off Twitter other than just like sending my own tweets.
Yeah, I might have missed a few other things. I just saw that on the screen. They came and gave him a Denver hat. It's not great asset management. Like I said, I have Bomaro at 23, which is coincidental, so I am very high on him compared to maybe consensus, and I know there's other guys, like smart dudes like Max Carlin and Ben Pfeiffer, who do the Prep the Pro podcast. Like, they're higher than that on him. They really do think he has creator prospect ceiling in his future. But and I completely understand, like I did say earlier, and I completely understand why they took a guy they can stash, because they have too many players on their roster, and they obviously, you know, weren't going to pick four picks. But yeah, the process isn't great. I like what you said, Jack, that it's not the player, it's the process, it's the asset management, it's the fact that they really need to hit on this draft asset-wise, and maybe that wasn't the best use. And again, it depends what goes on in a couple of minutes here. We're almost at the Wolves pick, then we'll analyze that and then we'll wrap up the show. But this next pitch big for me. I think if you pick someone strange, if you reach here,
I think they're gonna go with Jaden McDaniels. That seems like a Rosas thing to do, where he's just gonna
I do get that because they're so deep in the West right now. Like, they need something. Tyler, give me your pick. We're about to the picks in, so.
Yeah, I'm with Jack. I'm guessing Jaden McDaniels, just based on positional need. And they have seven guards on the roster right now. Like, I would love Desmond Bane. I think Desmond Bane should be the pick, but I don't
think he will be. I agree. I think Desmond Bane should be the pick. It's going to hurt me that Desmond Bane probably isn't going to be the pick, but I'm going to go with Tyler Bay, which I don't love. I like for the defense side, but I don't trust that Tyler Bay, he's going to be a very good shooter. So
yeah,
I think it'll be Tyler Bay, just because I feel like they're really prioritizing defense over shooting at the moment. And that kind of rings true with that, but yeah. This pick is going to wind up in Minnesota. It's the 28th pick. We're just waiting for it now. We're all thinking a forward. Here we go. Yep, Jaden McDaniels is a Timberwolf. I don't Let's hate go. It. Everyone, you can go check it out. I just wrote a monstrous piece on Jaden McDaniels for my last draft radar. The highs, like, I'll just kind of go over it now. The highs for McDaniels is, obviously, he's 6'10". He can run the floor like a guard, handle the ball very well for a guy at his size. Like, he's more of a big three than he is a true big man. Five-star recruit coming out of high school. He he can shoot the ball. He's really good as a catch and shoot guy, and then really good as a defensive, you know, playmaker. He played in Washington's zone, so it's a little bit hard to get a good read on what he can do in a man to man defensive coverage. But just great at blocking shots at the rim and disrupting around the perimeter as a long, long dude. And then, yeah, offensively, just very versatile, but very raw, and that's probably where the downsides are. I know we've spoke about the downsides, Tyler. I'll let you kind of tell me the bad things. I know I'm putting you as the bad news bearer here, but I like the way that you've talked to me about McDaniel's flaws before.
Yes, I like the good things are obvious. They're in your face. That the shot creation, the length, the shot blocking, it's all really promising. But just the way he visibly and repeatedly took himself out of games was really frustrating and worrying. And he got visibly frustrated, and when things didn't go his way and his body language was awful, he would commit dumb fouls, he got a ton of texts in college. So I don't know if that was, you know, who knows what's going on in the locker room or in class or, you know, at home, who knows? So hopefully it's just a symptom of the situation. And he's just one of these guys that's ready to be in the NBA. Because if he hits, he's got a tremendous amount of talent. He just didn't show really much development or growth in his year at Washington, either with his on-court game or physically. So, you know, how much of that is Washington's, or a symptom of being at Washington, who has kind of done this with a bunch of guys over the last couple of years, and how much of it is on him just not really willing to work or loving the game. So I like the talent. I like the potential with it. I have some concerns about his mentality and whether or not he's really willing and ready to get in and work and be challenged.
Yeah, I completely agree. The attitude, the mental makeup, the foul issues. Like I think I had a stat when we did the big board that he fouled out of 25% of his games last year, which is just absurd. Yeah. Like just really absurd. So there's a real rawness. Like he's really rough around the edges. I think he needs. Maturity. He needs a coaching staff that trusts him, that not only lets him play through his mistakes, but also really reins him in when he needs to be condemned, and when he's pouting or when he's, you know, annoyed at himself and he starts committing frustration fouls. Like I think that I'm iffy whether Ryan Saunders is that guy, if I'm being honest, just because he's.
Is anyone on the roster that guy?
Yeah, Ricky Rubio, I guess. Like.
But Josh Okogie, I think Josh Okogie can be that guy, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, that's yeah. fair.
I think Josh Okogie is a guy who's all about positive energy and positive attitudes, and not letting yourself get down on any mistakes you have on the floor during a game. And because of that, I think he's going to need to get his ass kicked, frankly.
Yeah.
Whether it be by his teammates or his coaching staff. You know, I think he's going to be a guy who will be an Iowa to start, just because I think he's a guy who needs to build confidence. Because I think when he got taken out of his rhythm at Washington, I think he got frustrated and learned how to play through that frustration. And I think he needs to learn how to do that. And I think that Iowa will be a really unique opportunity for him to do that. He's reunited now, or not reunited now, but we'll be able to play with another guy from Washington and Jalen Noel, who I think... you know, that'll be really good for him, just because there's an obvious immediate connection that can be had there. Noel played in the G League last year, was a stud for Mike Hopkins at Washington on both ends of the floor, and is a guy that I think can probably help McDaniels get acclimated to Minnesota as quickly as possible and help him through the whole G League process as well. So, you know, I really like the pick, just because there is a chance that Jaden McDaniels could be in the neighborhood of Jonathan Isaac. At the very high end. I'm not saying that there's a good chance that that's happening. I'm saying there's a chance. And if he keeps his head screwed on straight, which is a big if, you know, I think he could end up being like a Michael Porter Jr. of this draft in terms of he went low because of, you know, an injury problem or a personality problem. But, you know, this is a front office who, again, has preached constantly that, like, they've done their homework and they want to get to know all of these guys and who's around them. And they've clearly done their homework on all these guys. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, knock the pick because I think the value that you're getting is pretty damn good at 28 with McDaniels there. And obviously, you know, just because of his physical makeup and how good of a defender he was at Washington, I think he has a pretty high floor relative to most other guys that you'd take at 28. And is a guy who, if it doesn't pan out, I still think he'd have pretty high trade value just because of the, you know, like the parts that are already there in terms of his physicality and what he's shown at Washington on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And I mean, the question I guess I have is, you kind of answered it there, Jack, but do you think, like, Tyler, do you think he's a G League player next year? Like, they need help at the four. Do you think he's a guy who's going to get minutes at the four next year? Like, is he a guy that comes in straight away? I think there's pros and cons. I think letting him play through mistakes at the top level will be really beneficial for him. But I also think that he will make a ton of mistakes at the top level, and maybe he gets in his own head a little bit. So, yeah, Tyler, do you think he gets minutes on this Wolves team next year?
I mean, when you're looking at the team, who else is really going to be playing at the four? I mean, they don't really have a whole lot else. I mean, I think, you know, in a vacuum, time in Iowa would do him well. You know, I would worry about whether or not that really breaks him mentally or not. But, you know, if it does, then how's he going to fare in the NBA regardless?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I think you got to build him up first. I just don't think that he would fare well just being thrown to the Wolves in the NBA, especially at the four where you're going to need to switch a bunch. Like, he's got to learn how to play.
Right, and he's coming off a year of playing this super expanded zone where it's like, all right, you got this 10 feet that you got to cover, and you're going to be running all over the place and always look like you're out of position. So I think he would get eaten alive pretty quickly on defense, at least in the NBA. I think his shot blocking ability and potential's there. But I think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a smooth, easy plug-and-play type deal with him. And I'm assuming they want to play him at the four. I just don't know how quickly that'll be realistic.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they will. I think he will get some minutes at the four just because. But I guess that depends. You know, I think this whole draft signals Wancho coming back more than maybe we thought he would, to be honest, because he brings the shooting. He's obviously a power forward. Yeah, I think Wancho will be back now, whereas, you know, 3 hours ago, I didn't think he would. It's a strange one. I think McDaniels is the potential play, right? Like, he might flame out, but you picked him at 28, so if he does flame out, it's not the end of the world. But there's 5% chance that Jaden McDaniels ends up extremely good with the versatility offensively, the ability to shoot, the ability to dunk on dudes and attack closeouts. He's quick, he's long as hell, and then he's just, as an off-ball roamer, free safety type defensively, he's just a menace. I agree with Tyler, he's going to get eaten alive on the ball. I think they didn't even, I don't think, like, I watched pretty much all of his games from Washington, and I could not find a single clip where he was, like, playing on ball defense because of that zone. Like, he would just protect the space at all times and wait for the two guys at the top of the zone to come and take the pick and roll.
And Washington's zone is one of the worst coach zones, despite the coach coming from Syracuse. It's an awful, awful zone.
Yeah, and they were like top 30 in defensive efficiency the last few years, but I wouldn't say it's like it works necessarily very well. It's just kind of, this year was just kind of designed to funnel dudes into Isaiah Stewart, and even that didn't work very well because Isaiah Stewart's not like the premium rim
pretty
protector.
Foul prone.
Yeah, and
he loves to try and swat guys.
Yeah.
which is problematic at times.
Yeah, well, like McDaniels, you know, like I don't think he definitely can't be. You know, anyone's listening thinking like maybe he could be the starting four. Like a guy who fouled out of 25% of his college games will not last 20 minutes a night in the NBA. Like not right now. He's too over aggressive with the blocks. He'll try and block anything inside, even if it's just only arm that he can reach or body that he can reach. And then when he gets frustrated, he commits frustration fouls and reaches and slaps down when he doesn't need to. So yeah, I think that it's a good pitch, but it's one that we need to give time. We can't. We can't write him off next year when he doesn't feature much or when he doesn't, you know, I guess flourish straight away.
Yeah, and patience with him is gonna be vital because there are gonna be a lot of bumps in the road with him. I don't think it's gonna be immediate. And you know, who knows how that'll go, but it'll be a process with him. Immediate results, I don't think, should be expected by any means.
Wow, Desmond Bain just went 30th to Memphis.
Yeah,
Desmond Bain is who Dylan Brooks thinks he is.
Yeah, that
hurts. I can't believe he went 30th, man. That's insane.
He was always going to end up on a really good team, and like everyone next year is going to be like, wow, why did we pass on Desmond Bain? Because he's going to be hitting, you know, he's going to have a game where he hits 7 threes in the Western Conference semifinals or something. Eastern Conference semifinals. So, yeah, that hurts. It hurts watching him get stooped on by the Wolves, but I get it.
So in back-to-back years, at the end of the first round, the Grizzlies have traded up for Brandon Clark and Desmond Bane.
Yeah. The two guys who probably fell way too far. Well, is that the Grizzlies' pick?
No, it was Boston's pick.
Yeah, it's the Celtics' pick that they sent to Boston. Or Boston's pick that they sent to Memphis. Sorry.
So Desmond Bane plays for Memphis.
Correct.
Yeah. Geez, that's a good pick, isn't it? Anyway, we're gonna leave it there. I'm gonna leave it there for the podcast. Thank you if you've listened. I know that we're obviously after the draft and we're not live. But yeah, it was an entertaining night. That's for sure. It definitely lived up to its reputation as a draft that was going to be super entertaining and so many twists and turns for the Wolves. I'm going to probably do a podcast over the weekend with Richard Stamen or Mavs Draft on Twitter. I'm, you know, working something out with him. So, all Wolves fans, Anthony Edwards, Ricky Rubio, Jaden McDaniels, that's our haul for tonight. And, I'll catch you on the next show.